Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
The sooner you get back into the light and the more that you remain in the light, the better quality of life you're going to have with God. That's what he's encouraging us to do this morning. The error is, don't believe any of this stuff. Just live however you want. God loves you no matter what. The truth is, if you walk in the light as Christ is in the light, in all areas of your life, not just the few that you think others are looking at, you'll be able to experience God to the full.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Sometimes we feel like God wants us to do better, to be better, and to fix our problems on our own. But today on Brave, Pastor Jeff explains why that kind of thinking isn't actually biblical. God isn't calling us to take charge of our lives, but to give our lives over to Christ. Today's message comes from our current series, Better Together. And if you've missed out on one of these daily messages, we've made it easy to find these lessons and listen again at bravemedia.online. But now, here's Pastor Jeff, continuing our series, Better Together, with a message titled, Responding to the Light.
Open your Bibles this morning to 1 John, the book of 1 John. It's towards the end of your Bible, and we're going to be in verses 5 through 10. And because there's only 6 verses, I'd love to read them, and then we'll unpack them together. Here's what John says. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, in this is a very difficult passage to outline because, as we talked about last week, John spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back. But the first thing that John does before he tells us anything is he gives us a picture in verse 5 as to what our God is like. And notice what he says. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. In other words, Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, the God-man, told us exactly who he was. We saw him with our eyes. We heard him with our ears. We gazed upon him. We touched him. This Jesus told us a message. He directly gave it to us. We're telling you, and here's the message. Ready? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's the message. Right? It means this, before we even get started. First point, God is perfectly holy. God is perfectly holy. God is righteous. In him, there is no darkness at all. That's the message. Now, the question John's going to ask us is, then how do we respond? Because there's some negative ways to respond, and there's some positive ways to respond. And I've grouped those for us this morning so we can start with one negative response and then how we're supposed to respond positively. And then on the second page, another negative response and how we're supposed to respond positively. Because with God being light, how do we respond to him? And here's what he says. This is our first negative way. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, you hear that? I mean, here's the error. The error is that we falsely believe our lifestyle does not affect our relationship with God. We falsely believe that. You are lying to yourself. You're a liar. That's what he says. So if that's how it is, then here's the thing. Like, what are we called to do? We can respond properly. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then what happens? Then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Here's the truth. Notice this. We are called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. We're called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. It means we're called to align every single area of our life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, for many of us, after we come to Christ, people start telling us about the biggies. Dude, don't swear anymore. If you're going to drink, that's okay. Just don't get drunk. I mean, we try to do things to cover up our darkness. Here's what the Bible says. No, when you come to Christ and he's in you, you expose it all. Many of us, we don't like the light. We don't like to come to church because we don't want to get exposed for who we really are. And we run from the light, but we say with our mouth, Jesus and I, we're good. We're great. No, Christians embrace the light. Christians allow the light of God to penetrate the areas that have been dark so that God can pour his light through them. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it means to walk with God. And here's what he says. He says, but if we walk in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship with one another. Who's the one another? Who do we have fellowship with? We have fellowship with God. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it means to have fellowship. And if I have fellowship with God, who also have fellowship? I have fellowship with everybody else who knows the same God that I do, that's walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And what does he say? And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Comes from the word catharzo. It means to completely cleanse. It means to completely wash. It means you don't have little bits of fragments of sin. It means you are washed, washed. It means you are cleansed, cleansed. It's more than tied clean. I mean, it is Jesus Christ through his redeeming blood washing you so that you are perfected in his sight. That's what it means to abide in Christ. And guess who does all the cleansing? He does. He does. John 8:31 says, and 8:32 says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the order of how you grow. How do we grow? We continue in God's word. We align our life with God's word. What is the word? The word is the written word of God that reveals the person of God, the God-man Jesus Christ. And if I continue in that and have fellowship with that, then I will know what? I'll know the truth. I'll know who? I'll know Jesus. We'll be intimately acquainted. The more I walk in the word, the more I align myself with the word, the more intimately acquainted I am with Jesus Christ. And the more intimately acquainted I am with Jesus Christ, then what? It's the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus Christ. What's he do? Jesus Christ sets me free. Jesus Christ sets me free. Do you know that in our world, we always want to work backwards? I struggle with anger. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to work on it. How well does that work for you? How long have you been working on that? You know what? I got this drug addiction. I'm going to work on it. You know, I'm kind of addicted to the internet and pornography. I'm going to work on it. How long are you going to work on it? You can't work backwards. God didn't need you to work on it. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for all your sins to redeem you, so then for the rest of your life you'd work on it. Jesus Christ died for you because you couldn't do anything for him and says, if you abide in my word, you will know me and I'll be the one who sets you free. That's what fellowship looks like. So why aren't more Christians set free? Because most Christians don't believe it's about God doing a work through them. Most Christians believe it's about them doing a work for God. Can I just go on record saying God doesn't need me or you? He doesn't need my help. In the areas of my sin, he doesn't need my partnership. What does he need? My full surrender to him. He needs me to abide in him. He needs me to align my life with his word. He needs me to get to know him. And then at his time, either immediately or over a period of time, he'll set me free. It's his promise. He'll do it. And then when he does, guess what I'll tell other people? I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was Christ in me. Jesus did the work. Amen? Like, that's the truth of the gospel. I mean, it's not only great news that God's willing to redeem us and set us free so we can spend all eternity with him. It's great news that even as a sinner in this world, that if I abide in Christ, I can still walk in the light and have an authentic partnership with him now, even before I'm totally redeemed and set free. That in the present, I can enjoy God like I will enjoy him later. And yet, what does the devil do? The father of all lies tells you what? Take notes, work on it, work on it, work on it, work on it. Work on it. You're getting better. Oh, this week was bad. But work on it. Work on it. You know how many Christians are sick and tired of working on it? Everyone. You weren't designed to work on it. You were designed to get to know Christ and be obedient to his word and be faithful to what he shows you so that you can be intimately acquainted with the one who loves you. And then in his timing, he'll set you free. That's the gospel. That's what John's saying. He says the error is we don't believe that our lifestyle matters. And so when we struggle over and over, we say, it's not a big deal. God will forgive me anyway. No big deal. God will forgive me anyway. No big deal. It's just sin. No big deal. Jesus said, it's a huge deal because in me there is no darkness. And if you say you're walking with me, but you're living in darkness, you're lying. You're a total liar. You're just speaking so that other people will think that you have something that you truly do not, right? But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, guess what? Then in the areas of your life, Christ shows up and sets you free. I love the verse, Psalm 119, verse 105. You all know it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You ever think about that? If Jesus is the light of the world, what's he lighting? He's lighting what? The next step. That's all he lights. I mean, I wish Jesus gave us like a runway. I wish Jesus lit up like a highway. I wish Jesus showed us all the turns. He never does. He gives you this much light and says, step there. And you know what most of us do? Here's what we say. How come I have to step there? How come she doesn't have to step there? How come you're calling me that direction? I've never seen anybody else have to go that direction. But what does he do? He gives us enough light to take the step, and then we take the light with us, and then we're here, and now we know what step to take. That's why nobody's life looks like this. Everybody's life looks like this, right? To walk in the light does not mean you walk like everybody else. It doesn't mean you go like everybody else. In general, we're all going towards Christ. In general, we're all believing by faith in Christ and being obedient to him, but our path is going to look entirely different. Why? Because God's giving light for where I'm stepping. God's giving you light for where you're stepping. And if we see where God's taking us, many times we know what God's calling us to do, but guess what we do? I don't want to step there. Never seen anybody else step there. I know I'll be really spiritual about it. I'm going to get my small group together. We'll pray about where I need to step. And then we'll just pray about the light and where it's at. Where God's just sitting there like this. For some of you, it's been days, months, even years, and God's still holding the light right here. And you still refuse to step. But I'm married now. I couldn't do that. But now I got a job. Now I got a career. God's like, I ain't changing the light. You can step whenever you're ready. I mean, that's the light. That's walking in the light. And the reason that you don't have an ongoing relationship with Jesus is because you're not walking in the light. Walk in the light. Now, for some of you say, well, I know I'm a Christian, but I kind of stepped away from the light. The sooner you get back into it, the better. Can I just tell you that? Well, I've already gone this far, so we're dating. I went this far. Might as well go all the way. I've already started cheating a little bit at work. You know, we got to get this business deal done. I'm not going to expose it now. I'll start being truthful later. I mean, the sooner you get back into the light, the better it's going to be for you. Because God always responds to your obedience. He always responds to your obedience. Many of us, what do? Well, you know, when it gets really, 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 really bad, then I'll call out to him. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you wait until you hit rock bottom, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of pain to walk back through. The sooner you get back into the light and the more that you remain in the light, the better quality of life you're going to have with God. That's what he's encouraging us to do this morning. The error is, don't believe any of this stuff. Just live however you want. God loves you no matter what. The truth is, if you walk in the light as Christ is in the light, in all areas of your life, not just the few that you think others are looking at, you'll be able to experience God to the full. Now, here's another way to respond to the light of God in air. Really, verses 8 and 10 highlight another error. Notice what verse 8 says. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we're saying we have no sin now. And how about verse 10? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here's the error. Listen up, Christians. We falsely believe that sin is not a problem with us. We falsely believe that sin is not a problem with us. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's for non-Christians, Pastor. Come on. I mean, those sinners out there, you know them. You've met them. You've seen them. There are all those sinners out there. We used to be one of them. We're not anymore. If you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. I mean, I wish I could tell you 30 years ago when I gave my life to Christ, all my sin went away. That it just was magically eradicated. And since 1989, I hadn't sinned. I mean, I wish I could tell you that. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never sinned. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for 30 years. Nobody's laughing. I've sinned. Sin still creeps up in me. It's like the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, for I do not understand what I'm doing. For the good I want to do, I do not do. But what I don't want to do, I'll do. Like, who's going to rescue me from that? But I've learned this law that if it's going on in my life, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that lives in me. Like, do you see that? It's Christians, when was the last time you confessed your sin? See, here's what we don't believe. We don't believe sin's that big of a problem for us anymore, right? Sin is your biggest problem, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. If you're a non-Christian, it's your biggest problem because you don't have a relationship with God, because God needs to forgive you. But if you are a Christian, here's the deal. You still can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't rid it, and it kills. And the only cure from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's still your number one problem. Nope, Pastor, that was my number one problem before I got saved. Now my number one problem is my marriage. Nope, sin is the problem in your marriage. If you didn't have sin, you wouldn't have a marriage problem. Did you hear what I said? You got two non-sinners in a marriage, you don't have a marriage problem. It's a spiritual problem, right? No, Pastor, you don't understand. Before I was saved, I was a sinner. But now that I'm saved, I have my biggest problem, my finances. Nope, that's a spiritual problem too. You have sin in the way in which you've handled it. Either you have a lack of contentment for what God's given you, or you're greedy, or you spent more than you have because you have a sin problem that you haven't dealt with yet. Right? I mean, every single problem that you have is rooted in a sin condition. It's still your number one problem. And if you say you have no sin, guess what you do? You're deceiving yourself. We already said the group of people that say that they're Christian but don't walk it out, they're liars. What's a deceiver? A deceiver is one who misleads by false appearance or statement. You're misleading yourself. You're trying to look and act a certain way so that you can pretend that you're actually Christian when you're not actually walking it out. It's called a hypocrite, and the church is filled with them. Hypocrites are people that cannot admit their need for God's grace in their life at any time. And all the way down to verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. We make God a liar. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, when we say, oh, I don't really have a problem with sin anymore, or we live in such a way that we're not confessing our sin anymore, here's what we're saying all the time by our actions. God, you're a liar. God, you're a liar. You're a liar. You say I need your forgiveness, you're a total liar. You say I'm in need of you, God, you're a liar. You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. See, because most of us think that when we come to Christ, it's all about us doing good for God. No, Christ came to live in you. It's God doing his work in and through you. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, if I'm going to live for Christ, here's what I'm going to do. I am surrendering my life in such a way where Jesus Christ can get done in and through me whatever he wants, whenever he wants, whatever he wants for his glory. That means all my life, at all time that I'm breathing, my life is for Christ. So here's the question. Here's the question. Listen, listen, listen. For those of you who say, well, I never sin. We ask the wrong question. We go to the word and we say, how do I feel about this? And how am I doing? Right? Like, yeah. I mean, I wrote down some things just so you know, because I hear these things all the time. Yeah. You know, I hear you on that one. I struggle a bit with that one. That's a little bit of a struggle. Oh, yeah. I can do that. This one doesn't bother me as much. It doesn't bother me as much. This one, it doesn't affect me. This doesn't. I can do this. That doesn't affect me. Yeah, I mean, probably sin, but everybody sins. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we all sin once in a while, and it's not that big of a deal. Or this one. Here's the other one. Here's my favorite. This one's not a big deal for me. I can see where other Christians would struggle with that, but this one's not a big deal for me. Now, what pronoun do you hear on all those? Me. Here's how I feel about it. Here's what I think about it. The reason we don't confess our sins is because we're looking in the mirror like, I don't really feel that bad about it. I don't feel that bad. I'm okay with it. I mean, we get in these huge arguments in the church whether you can drink or not drink. And what do? We always tell how we feel about it. Well, the Bible just says don't get drunk. So it's really how I feel about it. You're asking the wrong question, right? Should we celebrate Halloween or should we not? It's all how I feel about it. Asking the wrong question. Here's the question. God, in every area of my life, are you getting the most glory through me minute by minute and moment by moment? If Jesus says no, then it's sin. Then we confess our sin so that Jesus can get done through us at any given time what Jesus wants to get done through us. Because it's not how I feel about it. It's not what bothers me. It's not whether I can handle it. It's how does he handle it? How does he feel about it? Is he able to get done what he wants to get done? Do you see why we don't confess our sin enough? Do you see why we don't think it's a problem? Because we still think that the Christian life is about us. It's not about us. It's not about what I'm doing for God. It's about what God's doing in and through me. So I better be asking the question, God, am I living where you want me to live? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I loving my spouse the way you want me to love them? I mean, think about marriage for a second, for heaven's sakes. I mean, we nitpick to death each other. How many know, by show of hands, Broomfield, you're included in this, that if you look for faults in your spouse, you might be able to find some? Every woman had their hand up first. I don't know why that is, right? You can find that. And then you can go to counseling and pay somebody $150 an hour to tell them what you found. And you can keep going forever. And let me tell you what will change. Nothing, except you'll be more poor. Or you can ask this question. God, am I being the spouse that you want me to be? Am I demonstrating Christ to my spouse in such a way that if you had full reign of everything in my body, that I would be honoring my spouse the exact same way that you would be honoring my spouse if you were the one living in and through me? See, that's a better question. Because I promise you, if you ask that question, God may show you some things that need to change in you. Do you see, the reason everybody's quiet this morning, nobody's clapping, is we're all uncomfortable with this. See, we thought the Christian life falsely was about us. The Christian life is about Jesus through us. And so we need to care about how Jesus feels about things through us. See, the error is to think that it's not that big of a deal and sin is not a big thing for me anymore. And every time we live like that, here's what we're saying. God, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. God, you're a total liar. You sent Jesus, I don't know why you sent him. Like, I can get to God on my own. Or God, you've already saved me, but now it doesn't matter that I need you anymore. Now, here's the truth. If you read through the scriptures, you'll see this. There are two different kinds of forgiveness the Bible talks about. One is judicial or forensic. It's kind of like if you picture in a court of law where God declaring you righteous. Here's when that happens. At the moment you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is done. It is paid in full. No one can snatch you out of God's hands. You are his for all eternity, forever and ever. Amen. Even if you sin, you still belong to God. Right? You're his. Let me make no mistake about that. But guess what? There's this ongoing parental forgiveness that takes place all the time. It's like when Jesus was sitting around the table with his disciples the night he was betrayed and telling them he was going to wash their feet. They're like, you're not touching my feet. Peter says, and Jesus says to him, hey, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. In other words, I need to ongoing clean the areas of your life that still continue to get stained and dirty. I mean, there's still areas in your life that need to grow. And here's what I found in my walk with Christ. The more I walk with Christ, the more I realize I'm forgiven, past, present, and future. My past isn't catching up to me. My future is secure, and I live in the presence of God's glory, and I know that. But the more I know that, the more I also realize at the same time that there are areas in my life that God is still pruning me and working on me and asking me to confess things so that he can get more glory in and through me. And I found that the more I walk with him, I don't hear his voice less. I actually hear his voice more.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and a message titled Responding to the Light. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast and want to hear more from our series, Better Together, go to bravemedia.online. You can also take Pastor Jeff's messages on the go and listen wherever you are simply by downloading the Brave Church app. Just go to your favorite app store and search for Brave Church Denver. This free platform is a great way to get connected and stay updated on all things Brave. Today we heard a crucial distinction on how the Christian life ought to be lived. As Pastor Jeff clarified, it's not a matter of trying to do more things for God, but a question of what we are allowing God to do through us. In work, in marriage, and in ministry, our sinful nature always confounds our best efforts. That's why relying fully upon Christ's power and presence isn't just helpful to our daily battles, it's necessary. Now, here at the Brave Ministry, we believe in coming together to strengthen and serve each other as the body of Christ. So we encourage you to stay with us for the next few weeks as we go deeper into this relevant series on community. And speaking of community, we also want to encourage you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. If you're listening anywhere in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit us in person this Sunday at our campus in Englewood or our other campus in Westminster. If you're listening from elsewhere, be sure to pull up a chair right at home through our online live stream. You'll find details to attend or stream our weekend services at our website, bravemedia.online. Just go to the bottom of our homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, feel free to email us, hello@bravechurch.co. I'm your host, Bill Carl, reminding you to join us tomorrow for the third and final part of today's message, Responding to the Light. That's next time right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.